Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Just thank God for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study His Word and get with men and encourage them to be the men that God has called us to be. So we're going to get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to study your word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study and show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing in your word of truth. God, we just thank you for your continued blessing. Bless us that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that all of this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Talk this morning, follow up on last week we were talking about how we should overcome and how we can overcome the various temptations that come our way and how we should be able to turn to God and give us the strength and the help to be able to get to the root cause of what's going on in our lives that would cause us to act in a manner that's not pleasing to God. And we just want to shift gears a little bit this morning. One of the difficult things in life is what do you do when you've done everything that you can and seems like nothing's going to work. One of the things that encourages men, and particularly men of God, is that they learn how to praise God in the midst of a circumstance. When you learn how to do that, what that does is all the stuff we've been talking about through these past weeks of learning how to do it, what happens is there comes a struggle in your life, and it's like, well, how can I do it? I know what to do, but how do I do it? And so, you know, we have to get to a place where we say, okay, this is how I do it. And one of the things that I like to share with men is that we can't rely on ourselves. But we have to rely on God, who will give us the strength. And when you learn to rely on God, who will give you the strength, you'll begin to see how you can make it through. One of the things that, as an example, in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, where Paul and Silas were in a situation where they were being mistreated, being abused, and put into prison. And they were in the bottom of the prison in stocks. And the Bible says, Acts 16, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So what we're saying to men today is that there is power in praise. But when we're feeling powerless, when we feel like there's nothing else we can do, everything we said, everything we tried, we've tried to do it this way, we try to do it that way, but there's nothing happening. What my suggestion to you today is the power, use the power of praise, and wait for your change. And you know, it's discouraging to not see it happen right away. It's discouraging to see things that are happening to you and you're not seeing any change. And so what Paul and Silas did in this particular instance, where they were at the bottom of the prison in stocks and bonds, what they began to do is to pray. They began to sing praises to God. And if we as men could get that a part of our repertoire, if you will, that when you're frustrated or when you're going through a difficult time or when you're at your lowest point where you feel like giving up, start praying and start praising. And when you start praying and start praising, what that does is it helps you in your situation to be able to deal with it until your change comes. And I know many have seen what's happened in the news recently as far as grand juries not bringing indictments toward people who have killed men of color and have not been brought into any type of court system, any type of arrest or any type of accountability. And so when you get in that situation, people are frustrated, people are angry, people are upset, and they're looking for outlets to be able to deal with these emotions. And you know, I tell people all the time that we're not robots, we're not devoid of emotion. But we have emotions, we have internal feelings, we are human, we are not monsters, we're not less than human, but we have feelings, we have emotions just like everybody else. I'm talking about, particularly people of color, we sometimes get the misconception that we are these monsters or these people that don't have feelings or emotions or intelligence. But that is quite the opposite. We are human just like everyone else. We get angry, we get mad, we get upset. We make mistakes, and sometimes we do the wrong things, and just as well as everybody else. But because of the color of your skin, doesn't mean that you should not be given the opportunity just like everyone else. And Paul and Silas, they were in prison because they were proclaiming the gospel, the good news. And we find them dealing with a difficult situation and gaining power and strength through the power of praise. So what I want to share with our men today, those especially who are struggling with the injustices that have been going on in our community as far as not being able to see the system in the United States work for us, as far as with being indictments, grand juries, getting to the judicial process, also of being targeted and and shot more quickly than anybody else in the United States. It is very frustrating. It's very concerning, and emotions are all over the place right now. And so we as men in the men's ministry and churches, we have to understand that there is a struggle that continues, and that it will not be a quick solution, but we have to remain steadfast. We talked about this last Sunday, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in the Lord is not in vain, and to understand that there is a way to deal with your frustration. There is a way to deal with your upsetness, your anger, and that is to learn to the power of praise. What the power of praise does, it helps to redirect the emotion, redirect the anger. And a lot of times God gives us, because we're emotional, because we have feelings, he gives us a safety valve of tears. A lot of times people say it's not manly to cry, but that's your safety valve. That's your relief valve. And that allows your emotions to be expressed. A lot of times people don't think about it that way, but your emotions can be expressed through your tears, whether it's of anger, whether it's of frustration, whether it's of love, whether it's of happiness. But it is a relief valve for your emotions. And so God has given that. And imagine a God that loves us so much. It's really interesting. I'm not a biologist, but your emotions will trigger tears to run out of your eyes. And you know, sometimes you're like, wow, what happened? Even from a baby's expressing emotions, and you see the tears running out of his eyes. But we as men, some of us can't remember the last time we did cry. And we build it and bottle that stuff up. And whether it's a emotional cry for being happy or emotional cry for being sad, but sometimes you have to let your emotions come out through tears and learn the power of praise. Looks like we got caller on the line. If you want to be a part of this conversation today, you can call it at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. It will get you on the air. We're talking about the power of praise this morning in our men's ministry. We're going to see if we get the caller on the line. Last four digits of the phone number 4061. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm blessed. Thanks for calling in this morning. Dr. Grimes, we have been this week, the last few months, been really disturbed about the way the young black male or the black male is being treated by the judicial system in this country. And we're just trying to share with our men's ministry of how to deal with the raw emotions, the feelings, and what people are going through as a way or as a means to help us get through this period of time in the history of the United States. I know it's always been a struggle, but it seems like here recently, it's almost like blatantly people are not giving all of the attention or all of the rights that should be afforded them. And so when that happens, people get frustrated, people get upset. And so that's when we as men need to come in and to help each other through talking, through dialogue, through going through the Word of God, through prayer, to help each other get from day to day. And that's what all I'm telling our men and people I come in contact with, is that it's a day-to-day thing. You will lose your mind. You will make mistakes. You will end up very frustrated if you don't take it on a day-to-day basis. And so one of the things that the Scripture shows us in the book of Acts is that there's power in praise. And power in praise helps you to deal with the difficult situation that you're in until your change that you need and that you want and that you deserve takes place. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Dr. Brown?
I agree. When I first got on the line, I heard you speaking about Paul and Silas and how being in the midst of struggle, how that has an effect on your situation. And I think that part of that is that when we, and it's hard, I know that it's hard, but when we are able to find ourselves in a place of prayer and praise in the midst of a struggle, what I think happens, or what I believe happens, is that when you're praising, that means that you're instead of focusing on what the struggle is, you're focusing on what's good. And so when you're praising God in spite of, you're focusing on the great things that he has done, you're thinking about the things that he's brought you through, and you're praising him for the good in your life. And when you do that, you change your focus, it changes your mindset, and it changes how you feel on the inside. Because when you focus on the injustice, when you focus on the wrong, when you focus on the negative, it continues to build up that pressure. It continues to build up and to eat at you until you have to have a release. But when you begin to praise God in the midst of it, you begin to focus on his goodness. And by focusing on his goodness, you're not focusing on the negative so much. And so then you draw strength. You find yourself in a mindset where you're able to continue to push on when you think back and reflect on what God has already done. And so you're able to say, okay, well, this may be what it is, but God has brought me through this. God has brought me through that. Why cannot God bring me through this? And the same God, he's the same God today as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same God forever. So if he did that for me, why can't he do this for me? I think that when we're in situations where there are injustices, though, I think it's harder than just a normal trial or tribulation, because I think in the human mind, we have certain expectations that things will happen. And we understand that there's going to be some negative things that we have to go through in life, because that's just the way that life is. But I think that when you have injustices between human beings, it puts everybody on edge, and the people who the injustice is being done towards, there begins to become resentment, anger, and frustration. And when you put those three things together, if not given any positive direction and if not given an outlet, you will have an explosion.
Absolutely. And you know, that's what we're trying to do with the first word this evening. Is giving folks the outlet. And again, if anybody's out there online or listening or wants to be part of the conversation, we invite you to call at 347-324-5569. Dr. Grant, I think one of the most powerful things is dialogue, where you can speak about what's inside of you, let it come out to be able to speak about it, sort of like when we had got together before Jordan Scott's baptism in my office, and we were as men just talking about some of the things that happened in our lives, and just being able to have a voice to talk about it, to share about it, to throw it out there, to have people who have experienced it be able to comment on it. That is so powerful and so helpful. And I think, like you said, frustrations and these things are going to abound and sometimes get really difficult. But if you don't have a way to defuse it, like you said, it's going to explode. And so one of the things that we are just encouraging men to do is to talk about it, talk to somebody. Don't let it build up inside. Don't think you're in it by yourself. Don't think you're the only one that's feeling that way. And don't think that you are going to be the only one that has to deal with it, because that is like a ticking time bomb, Dr. Grant.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I think also that, you know, a lot of men, a lot of people, but a lot of men, a lot of black men do not see necessarily the value in counseling, or think that going to see a counselor may make them weak. And so, in essence, though, when you really think about counseling and what it is, most counselors at the beginning stages give their clients an opportunity to simply vent. And by venting, number one, you're releasing some of that negative energy. Number two, you bring to the surface what some of the real issues in your life and problems are. And then the third step of counseling is then to, okay, let's come up with a plan. Let's come up with, to find out a strategy on how you can move forward in your life in a more positive fashion, how you can address these issues, and how you can then turn around and be successful in your life. And I think that even if you're not willing to go to a counselor, by just, like you said, having that dialogue with someone, the dialogue gives you the opportunity to address the thoughts in your mind. You ever had a conversation where you just start talking to somebody and you're in a room and, you know, you're having a conversation and maybe you start talking about sports, but then the next thing you know, you're in a real deep conversation and someone begins to reveal some things that are really on their mind. And that's because when things are weighing heavy on your heart and when they're really on your mind, sometimes all it takes is a listening ear to trigger the opportunity to release that stuff.
Absolutely. And you know, like you said, sometimes as black men, we're clear it's a thing of weakness, but the stuff that we deal with, I'm talking about the black male, that we deal with on an everyday basis, just walking into the Safeway or the Giant or the Whole Foods and picking up someone watching you as you go, you know, to buy some Cheerios or, you know, walking into a auto store, watching someone as you go by the light bulb, you know, counter, you know, it's just, or the light bulb, you know, where you, when you hit light bulbs and someone's looking at you and watching you, and or you're going through the Best Buy and you know, you pick up a tail or a trail. It is those things that you have to deal with every day that I think some people don't realize that creates stress in your life. And, you know, I work in areas in the District of Columbia where on K Street, they call it Lawyer's Lane, or the most powerful lane street in the country. And you go out there and you try, you can be in a suit, a tie, and dress better than 20 other people. But if you're an African-American male, your chance of hailing a cab is reduced dramatically. I've experienced it personally. Running late for a meeting, not running late, but needs to get in a cab right away and get to a meeting. And out hailing a cab, can I get a cab? All these cabs are going up and down the street and can't get a cab simply because of the color of my skin. And I'm going to the higher district. You know, I wasn't going toward, you know, the southeast or something. You know, I'm going upper northwest. And trying to get a cab, and it's just a stress that you deal with. And so we have to keep this forum open that we talk about it, and we have to allow that to come out. And then we have to, like you said, on that final step of putting things in place or solutions in place to be able to deal with it. And I think that's where we are right now. As a country, is going through this whole process of acknowledging that there is an issue, venting about it, and coming up with something to put in place that's going to deal with the mentality that black lives are not valuable, and that it's okay to treat them a certain way. And that has to be a clarion voice that says, hey, you know, you can't do this, and this is not acceptable. Whatever you need, whatever we need to do as a country, as humans, to get people to understand that what they are doing or what they've done in the past is not correct, it's not right, it's harmful, and it needs to be corrected. And again, during this whole venting and anger and expressing your emotion, we have got to turn to God to give us the strength. Otherwise, I don't know about you or anybody else, because you're human, you experience anger. Sometimes you experience frustration to the point where you may act irrational. And so without God on your side and knowing that I can turn to God with my relief, I might act in a way that is not godly. And I have to guard myself against that And the way I do that is constantly going before the Lord in prayer and praise. Dr. Graham?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that, you know, especially in America right now, the first thing I think as a country, as a society, has to acknowledge that there is a problem. And, I mean, all my life I have experienced those very feelings that you're talking about. And even now, you know, fitting the profile, being a bald-head man, black man with a beard, you know, I get those looks all the time. And I think that some sectors of society have had a hard time accepting that fact. And I realized through conversation this week, because some of them can't relate because they've never had to experience it. And so therefore, they really can't see it. Some just have blinders on. But when I think that the incidents that have been happening in our country that have had great media attention, that it has been made clear that there is an issue, and that if it's not fixed, it is going to be a recipe for disaster. The emotions are running high, and if there is nothing done to change that, I mean, there is potential for a great, it's already been civil unrest, but there's potential for a great catastrophe and for things to get much more out of hand, because you may find that people may try to take the law into their own hands, which would really take things into a whole other place. But this is why it's so important, as you said, to have a relationship with God, to be able to go to him in prayer, to be able to lift him up in praise and worship, because the fact of the matter is that we will experience injustice, right, wrong, or indifferent. And so we need to have a positive method in which we can deal with those things. There are things that we can do as a people and as a human body that we can try to invoke change, but we have to be organized. We have to be, and the thing of it is, we have to allow God to lead us, because the fight itself is not against, it's not a black and white issue, though that's what it appears to be. The fact of the matter is that the Bible says that we wrestle against principalities. This is a spiritual battle at its very root, and it's manifesting itself in this way in our country. But if we go out there blindly and without the guidance and the unction of the Holy Spirit, we are destined to be defeated. But if we would raise up as a people, and I wish that we would do this even in our own communities as well, if we would raise up as a people, a body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we would allow God to lead us and guide us as a whole to be able to move forward, then we will be able to see things change.
Yes, and that is where, like I said, men's ministry and ministry with our families and getting to the altar, you know, not just black, not just white, but men of God, getting to the altar of God, getting the instruction from God, and permeating our community with the Holy Spirit. What happens is now you begin to start overcoming that evil with good. You begin to start waging the war, or the battle, if you will, in the spirit. And then what happens is the hearts and minds of people begin to change. That was one of the things during the Gulf War, not Gulf War, but the war in the Middle East, is that they kept throwing weapons and weapons and weapons and soldiers and troops at it. And the generals and the men in the field, that finally got to the point where they said, you know, all the weapons and all the technology and all the drones, all the tanks and machine guns, until you get to the hearts and minds of the people, then you're not going to experience anything but death and, like you said, and destruction. There has to be a way to get to the hearts and minds of those involved to realize that, you know, this is a spiritual thing, you know, this is a humanity thing, this is a thing that gets down to the root of who we are as people in relationship with God. And when you begin to start doing that, then you can see change, because people will continue to fight and fight and fight and fight and fight, get bigger weapons, bigger guns, but you will continue to have the results of fighting, which is just death and destruction. And another generation comes with death and destruction, and another generation. But until you go into the spirit realm where you can change the hearts and minds of people and change their thinking, and begin to that they would be able to begin to have a trust among each other, people who are in a relationship with God and who are demonstrating godly value, then those peoples of nations can get along. But if you don't have that, and sometimes people misuse religion and hide behind religion and still have, you know, this evil ways. But when people are truly involved in a relationship with God, no matter what culture you're in, whatever country you're in, wherever you are in the world, the love of God is universal, and it can transcend any type of spiritual hatred or any type of hardness of man's heart. So it's important, like you said, as a community, that we will come together and address these issues from a spiritual, biblical standpoint to say, hey, this is not a black and white thing. This is a heart thing. This is a spiritual thing where men have learned hatred, hide behind religion and hide behind color and racism, but ultimately it's a relationship that we have to have with God to be able to love each other. And I believe that's what Mark said, that we would know that people would know that we are Jesus' disciples if we have love one for another. And that transcends everything, every religion across the board. If man would have a right relationship with God, and that he would love his brother as himself. And evil likes to stir up, you know, racism. Evil likes to stir up injustices to get us to think that it's against flesh and blood, to get involved in these long generations and decade after decade battles of what we think it is. But like you said, we have to come together in a godly manner as men, as leaders in our community, at the altar of God, getting instruction and learning how to deal with it. That's why I was so just amazed at the leadership that Dr. Martin Luther King showed through civil nonviolence, trusting God. Not to say that anybody has trusted God was ever a perfect man, not saying that by any means, but that was the basis. That was the platform that was used to usher in, you know, voting rights, civil rights, changing of governments and the hearts and minds of people. Dr. Graham?
Yeah, I just have to agree with what you said, and I think the thing that I heard most of all in there is that love conquers all. The root of it all is the love of God. And when we can get to the place where we as a whole can unite with other people across racial barriers, across racial divides, and just love one another, that then we will begin to see changes in society as the whole.
And that is the challenge. That is the challenge. And I always go back to John 3:16, the way God overcame evil with good. And John, the Gospel of John, 3rd chapter, verse 16, he said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him and dealt with the problem of people perishing would not have to perish, but have everlasting life. So he dealt with the perishing through giving his only Son. And, you know, in Paul's teaching, he teaches that love never fails. And you have to be able to experience the love of God first to be able to love someone else. And when you go into prayer and pray, what it does is it brings you into the presence of God. Psalm 100 says that we should make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands says that we should serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are the sheep, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And then in that 100th Psalm of verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. and its truth endures to all its generations. So when you begin to experience that mercy, that everlasting mercy and that truth in that particular verse, what happens is, and you're in the presence of God, what happens is God has the ability to exchange his strength for our weakness. And so when you exchange your ashes and he gives you beauty, or beauty for ashes, when you begin to go to God and say, God, I'm weak in this area. And so my process is to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise. So when I begin to do that and get into the place and the position where I can exchange my weakness for his strength, for when I'm weak, that is, he is strong. And when I begin to do that, what happens is that gives me the strength to be able to endure, to be able to experience his love afresh. And when I begin to experience his love afresh, it has a transcending effect on me where I can now love those who aren't that lovely. And that is a challenge of everyone, that you would be able to do that. And, you know, many times it comes to my mind of, you know, not to be hypocritical, to say, how can we say that we love God in whom we have not seen, and hate my brother who I see every day? That's just a contradiction if I do that. It's hypocrisy. And what I have to do is I have to learn to spend more time in the presence of God, exchanging my weakness for his strength, experiencing the his love for my unlove. And then once that begins to start taking over me, then I can begin to start treating my fellow neighbor in the way that God says that we should treat our neighbor. And those are the two greatest commandments that Jesus said, is that we should love God and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And so, again, when we talk about communities coming together, there is a key, and that key is the love of God. And if we, as people of color or as a country, leave God out of this conversation or this situation that we're going through right now, we are destined to fail. Like you said, we are setting ourselves up for a hard fall. But if we bring and keep God in the midst of this, we can get to that place where Paul says love never fails, and that we should overcome evil with good. And like you were saying, be able to deal with this spiritual warfare in a way that we can experience victory and the joy that would come from a victory in God. Dr. Graham?
I think one of the things that has happened in our society, especially in our churches, is that a lot of churches have gotten away from the doctrine of love and gotten away from the true principles that God wants us to teach, wants us to learn, wants us to do. And so a lot of churches have what I call feel-good doctrine, where people come in Sunday mornings to get some word that's going to make them feel good about themselves, make them feel good when they leave. And though on Sunday mornings you come to church and you want to be recharged and rejuvenated and renewed for another week's journey, sometimes we need to be chastised. Sometimes we need to be instructed. And we need to know what thus says the Lord, because it's not enough to just take the good and the sweet without the bitter. And the reality is that if we cannot love our neighbor as ourselves, that is one of the greatest commandments that he gave us. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So if we are not operating in love, then what we're doing is in vain anyway.
Absolutely. And one of the things that Paul and Silas, back to our scripture, we're talking Acts 16, is after they prayed and sang praises, there was an earthquake that shook up the foundations of the prisons, and all the doors were open and the bands were loose, and there was a keeper of the prison, the person that was keeping you in prison, the police, if you will. In Acts 16:27 says, and the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. But in verse 28, it says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. So here the love of God is being expressed by the person that was wrong to the person that was responsible for policing them. And it's so profound that, you know, the love of God in Paul didn't allow him to allow this policeman or this jailer to take him to kill himself or to do himself harm because he understood, amen, that it was a spiritual thing or it was a heart and a mind thing, and that if he could demonstrate to him the love of God in this particular moment where the prisoners were facing the prison keepers or the person that was locked up or was facing the person that had locked them up. And in verse 29 it says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And here was a life-changing moment where the locked up or the mistreated or the persecuted demonstrated the love of God. And so the person that was in charge of keeping them locked up came to a realization that there is a God and that they needed help and that they needed to be changed. And so they asked them, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said in verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And they spake unto him the word and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, and he all his straight away. And so what happens is now his mind has been changed. His not only him, but his whole house has been changed because the persecuted acted godly in the midst of being persecuted. Because they sang praises and prayer and praises that gave them the strength to have the power to hold on until their change comes. And they demonstrated love toward those that were persecuting them to the point where that person began to see the love of God in them. And they wanted to know the love of God that was in them, that even though they were persecuted, even though they were locked up, even though they were mistreated, that they would still show love toward him in spite of his position and his actions toward them. And so now it's changed not only the jailer or the person that locked him up, but now it's changed his whole family, which in turn will change everyone else. Dr. Grant.
It's good stuff. Good stuff. I don't really have a comment on that.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, this is how it works. This is how God works through the persecuted that know God. The persecuted that don't know God would have killed him and had a riot. But, you know, the persecuted that know God understand that through prayer and praise that God will bring about change and that through that, he can not only just change those that are there, which was the jailer and his family, but it would extend to those people that they know also. And so, what happens a lot of time is and like in the case of Joseph, he went through great persecution, and what happened is he became the leader of all of Egypt, second in charge of all of Egypt, but he had to go through great persecution. Through his family, the pharaohs, through, you know, peoples in his relationship. And so through this, we see that we can make a change, even though we're being persecuted, even though we're being mistreated. And if we, as those who know God, can get this message out, where people would say, hey, we can make a change. And, you know, when I talked about this last Sunday, we were picked out to be picked on so we can make a change. And so if we can understand that and operate in the love of God, what happens is just like this guy, this jailer that was in charge of taking care of the persecuted, we can make a difference of showing the love of God toward them, and then they can be changed, and then they could reach out to their families and to their community. And when that happens, what happens is that makes a change for the better for those who are being persecuted. And so it's a way of love works. Love has the ability to overcome evil with good, and it's a way that is unconventional. Just like I said, with God sending His Son, is that He loved us in spite of us, and that He saved us while we were unsaved, and that He became poor so that we can become rich. And then He came to seek those that are lost and that were not saved. And when you have that mindset and that love of God, you can operate on that same level through the power of praise and watch God perform miracles and change the hearts and minds of people. We have to be not naive to think that we're not going to have to go through some things. Dr. Rapp?
Yeah, one thing that I think about in thinking about, you know, persecution and the struggle, I think about the Israelites and the many struggles that they had to go through, even though they were God's chosen people. And so I think when you have that spiritual foundation and you're able to look back and reflect on the Bible and you're able to reflect on the teaching of God, that, like you said, when you may be picked out to be picked on, you know, we may be in a situation as a people in America where there are some things that we may have to go through, but if we believe God to be God, then we'll still be able to see that there is a greater good that may potentially be done as a result of the struggles and the injustices that we go through.
Absolutely, and that's a tough message, like you said. I know it was a tough message last Sunday when I preached it, and I know it's a tough message this morning, but like you said, God uses his people in difficult situations to bring about a change. And, you know, He used His Son in a difficult situation to bring about a change. And who are we to say that we should be exempt from difficult situations to bring about a change? The heart of the slave master and culture of hatred had to be changed. And in order for it to be changed, the those that were the recipients of it had to endure and had to make inroads to make change, to make this country better. This country has come a long way and has a lot farther to go. But those who have been persecuted for decades, centuries, have had to stand up, trust God, and bring about a change. So without having gone through that, I don't think we would be as country where we are today. And like I said, we have a long way to go, and the persecuted still has to stand up and still has to proclaim the goodness of God, even in the midst of spiritual warfare, even in the midst of an evil and perverse world, that God is able to change the hearts and minds of people, bring about a change, a godly change, with the good of this country. And that has to be the message. We have to use every means that God has given us to be able to hold on and be able to make a change with His help and His guidance. And songwriter said, no one promised that the road would be easy. But God always promised that He would be with us. And one of the things I said is keep praying, keep praising. And that's what will get us through. Dr. Grant?
I agree. I agree with you, Pastor, wholeheartedly.
So we're just going to be prayerful, and we want to thank everyone for tuning in this morning. Thank everyone for continuing to go to the archives. Just spread the word about the First Word on Sunday mornings. We'll be here at 6:30 a.m. You can get on the web. You can get on the phone. You can come here in person. And we just want to continue to encourage. Man, I know I'm always encouraged when we are getting to the altar and the iron sharpening iron, that it is greatly needed, and we want to see more men benefit from this ministry. So any last words before we close out in prayer, Dr. Graham?
No, I think just the word to focus on for the week is love.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right, let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, for just continuing to bless us through this ministry, God, that we can have dialogue and that we can seek your word. We can draw strength from your word and from each other as men. Father, we just pray that you would continue to give us your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding, oh God, of how things are unfolding, knowing, God, that you do all things well and that all things work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So, God, as we continue in our praise and continue in our prayer and our worship, God, we just ask that you would reveal these things to us and that we would have the strength to love in spite of, God, and that we would overcome evil with good. You know, God, as we go on today in our worship, God, help us to worship you in a manner that's pleasing in your sight. And God, you say that they that worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. So, God, help us to do that today, God, that you would receive honor and glory to your name. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to do it for us today. We wish everyone have a great Sunday. As always, if you want to listen to this message again or these words again, you can go to the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/pastorsaid. Scroll down to the on-demand section, and you can listen to this message in entirety. Share it with somebody else, and we look forward to hearing seeing you on next Sunday. That's going to do it for us today. Good night. Have a good day.